Thank you, Brian. I want to ask if you would to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We've been studying sevens, and I want to study seven crowns in the Bible this morning. Seven crowns in the Bible. Tim and Beverly LaHaye. Tim LaHaye, of course, is most famous today for writing the Left Behind books. But 20 years before that, I met him, and Tim was teaching a marriage seminar with his wife, Beverly. And he came, and I went to it, and he was trying to give advice to ladies. And he said, "Do you know how to get your husband to treat you like a queen? Treat him like a king." And some lady stood up and said, "Yes, but what if he doesn't do that?" And Tim said, "Well, didn't just crown him." Yeah, you know. They asked Eileen this morning, "Did you wake up grumpy this morning?" And she said, "No, I left him in bed." But we want to look at crowns. Now, there are two words for crown in Greek. One is never used in the New Testament. It is the term diadema. Now, we sing a hymn, "Bring forth the royal diadem." That is the kingly crown. It goes back to ancient Persia. It was a blue and white crown that kings wore, royalty wore. It's found in Josephus. He writes about the diadem. It's found in the book of Judith in the Apocrypha. And it's found in the writings of Philo of Alexandria, the Jew that lived in Alexandria, Egypt, same time as Jesus. But it's not found in the New Testament. The word Shakespeare said, "Heavy is the head that wears the crown." And boy, is that the truth. The heaviness of leadership. It's not the word God uses in the Bible. God uses the word Stephanos. It's where we get the word Stephen. So if you know someone that's named Stephen or Stephanie, then the meaning of their word is crown. How many of you know the meaning of your name? The God-given meaning of your name. You know, if God is over all, then your name has a meaning. And even Wade has a meaning. It means to move forward. Okay? So maybe you should look up the meaning of your name, what your name means, a Christian meaning of your name. But the word Stephanos, it's a champion's crown. We saw champion of love. The victor that won the race got a crown. It was either a crown or a wreath of leaves. Poet laureates got crowns, athletes, public servants, high-ranking officials. It is the crown of victory, the crown that goes to a winner. And the winner's crown is the word that God uses in the New Testament. Now, the Romans had crowns. The Romans had the corona civica, a crown of oak twigs given to the soldier that saves another soldier's life. That was a military crown. The gold crown muralis, given to a soldier that was the first to climb up a wall when they invaded the city. Hopefully he lived to collect his crown, okay? And then the famous laurel or triumphalist crown given to a general after he won a great victory. So there were crowns, and every time they write about those, they use the word Stephanos. You won. It's a winner's crown. So look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." Those leaves faded, turned brown and died. "But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. This is the victor's wreath. The Bible teaches that God rewards the righteous and God punishes sinners. The Bible says there are degrees of reward for believers, and there are degrees of punishment in hell. In fact, you find in the teachings of Jesus that some people were beaten with few stripes, and some were beaten with many stripes. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to earn our reward, whether it be good or evil. We will stand in a judgment, not the judgment to determine whether you go to heaven or hell, the great white throne judgment, but we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ where Jesus will reward us for the kind of life we've lived down here. The incorruptible crown, the crown that cannot be taken away. Now, runners run, they have to stay in their lane. You know, walking in the lane that God wants us to walk in, 18 times, there are 18 different things the Bible teaches about the Christian walk. Walking on your track, walking on your sidewalk. What's a trespass? When you step off the path. What's a sin? When you miss the mark. The incorruptible crown of obedience, running the race of life that God has for each one of us. By the way, a runner can be disqualified. You know, in one of the great World Series, man hit a home run, and he went around the bases, and he came home, and the umpire says, "You're out, you're out." And they said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You didn't tag first base." Now, first base is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Second base is getting baptized. Third base is living a Christian life, going to church. A lot of people get baptized, second base. A lot of people join the church and do churchy things, third base, but they never tag first base. They never accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. You can be disqualified from the race and not get the incorruptible crown. So that's one crown that Christians can get. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Keep flipping to the right. Go past General Electric Power Company. You know General Electric Power Company, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians? General Electric Power Company. Okay, never mind. Okay. You know the book of the Bible that says only men should make coffee? Hebrews? Okay. Everybody's out there, right? Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I turned to Timothy. That's too far. 1 Thessalonians 2, 18 through 20. 1 Thessalonians 2, 18 through 20. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? And aren't even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and our joy. People that we brought to Jesus, our joy and crown. In fact, Philippians 4:1, Paul calls the Philippians my joy and crown. How many people are going to be in heaven because of Inman Park Baptist Church? I'd say a good many. And it continues on. Those people received Christ. They led people to Christ. They led people to Christ. You don't know but what thousands of people are going to be in heaven because of this church. And that's the past, and that's good, but we need to keep on keeping on. If you're not evangelizing, you're fossilizing. We need to keep on reaching people. And this is the soul winner's crown. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Jesus told three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, in Luke 15. At the end of the story about the guy that lost the one sheep, he had 100, he lost one, he brought it back. Luke 15:7. But I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, and then over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Again, the woman had 10 pieces of silver, lost one, swept her house, clean house till she found it. Verse 11, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just. That's right, 10. You go after the one, you reach the one, and the angels rejoice. There's a story about a Moravian missionary. I don't think we have a Moravian church in Polk County, maybe one. But the Moravians were great at sending missionaries. George Smith went to a place in Africa. He lived and worked and prayed, and one lady accepted Christ. He died not long after that. He was praying on his knees, collapsed, died. They buried him, and some people came along and found his Bible. They started reading his Bible, and they said, "What does this book mean?" And the one lady he had led to Christ said, "Let me explain that book to you." And they became Christians. And 100 years later, at that place where he served for just a very short time and died, there were 12,000 Christians. 100 years later, because of what he did. We never know the seeds we plant. There is the crown of rejoicing. Flip over two books to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4. Verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6. "But I am now ready to be offered." This is probably the last book Paul wrote. "I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but for unto all those who love his appearing." The crown of righteousness, the crown of righteousness. People who have become Christians, and they love Jesus, and they look forward to him coming back again. People that have been saved, and they talk about the Christian life. Titus 2:11, "The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Obedience, the crown of righteousness. A little girl in Florida came in and she said, "Daddy, let me show you the pretty rope out in the yard." He went out there and it was a coral snake. He killed it. If she'd have touched it and it had bitten her, she would have probably died. Sin looks pretty. Sin looks attractive. Sin is deadly. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The crown of righteousness, living for God, looking for his coming. The crown of righteousness. One little girl prayed, "God, please make me gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder so there's no bad left." And that's not a bad prayer. That's not a bad prayer. "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." That's one of the crowns we can earn. Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Just keep turning to the right. James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Enduring, keeping on, keeping on, fighting the good fight, the crown of life. In fact, that verse is repeated, Revelation 2:10, the church at Smyrna, the letter to the seven churches, the church at Smyrna. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." An archaeologist was digging in the ancient Near East in Babylon, and he found a carving, bas-relief carving, where you carve into the rock. It was a picture of an ox standing in front of an altar. There was an altar, and there was a plow. What do you do with oxes? You sacrifice them or work them. And what was the caption under the picture of the ox with the altar and the plow? Ready for either one. Ready for either one. And we have to realize that we have to be ready. Ready for service, ready for sacrifice, ready for going to heaven. And that's real to us. If you were to die today, do you have the assurance that you go to heaven? Now, you ask people out on the sidewalk and you get, well, I think so, or maybe, or I hope so. But every one of you should answer, yes, I am sure I would go to heaven. Why? Because he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not eternal life. We can know that we're going to heaven. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, just going over beyond James, 1 Peter chapter 5 is the fifth crown that a Christian can earn. A fifth crown that a Christian can earn. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. This is for church leaders, pastors, leaders, deacons, elders, overseers, bishops, whatever you want to call them. Church leaders, okay? When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Faithful ministry, eternal honor. Sometimes I have to go back and remember William Carey. William Carey was one of my heroes growing up as a Christian. We studied missions, history of Baptists during training union once a year on Sunday night. William Carey was a shoe cobbler. He had a fifth grade education. He taught himself Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and Dutch. He went to India in 1792, the first Baptist foreign missionary. He founded the modern mission movement, William Carey, India. He was married, his wife died, he married another lady, she died, he married another lady. He lived a long time, but with a fifth grade education, he translated the Bible into 22 different languages. The second greatest linguist that ever lived, William Carey. And this is William Carey's motto: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. William Carey, the first Baptist missionary. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give you the crown of life. But for him ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Faithful ministry. So those are the five crowns that a Christian can earn. The incorruptible crown for incorruption. The crown of rejoicing, celebration over lost people. Crown of righteousness, the consummation when Jesus comes back, he's going to reward us. The crown of life, duration, in duration. Sticking it out. Crown. The crown of glory, validation. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. But there are two other crowns in the Bible. Those are the crowns that Jesus wore. The first one is a crown of thorns, and yes, they do use the word Stephanos. It is the victor's crown, but it's on Jesus' head as he's dying for our sins. Matthew 27. Verse 27, Matthew 27, 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed a knee before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." A crown of mocking, a crown of suffering, a crown of ridicule, a crown of sacrifice, which is what Isaiah 53 predicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath given him the deliverance of us all. This week, December 6th, was the 75th anniversary of D-Day. My father was in six of the seven major battles of Europe, all right? General Eisenhower, before they launched the attack, Dwight Eisenhower, and I remember him as a little kid, he was the president on TV, he interrupted cartoons on Saturday morning. That's what I remember about Eisenhower. But my dad was a mechanic, and once in a while, he flew mechanic on the general's airplane. And I asked him one time, that impressed me, okay? And I said, "Did you ever talk to General Eisenhower?" He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "What did General Eisenhower say?" "He used to tell us, fight like hell and you'll get to go home." That's just the reality of war. But this is what he said when they launched the attack on December 6th, D-Day. General Eisenhower said, "There is no victory at bargain prices. There is no victory at bargain prices. Liberty is not free, and liberty from sin is not free." Romans 6:23, "God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There is no victory at bargain prices. So two crowns for Jesus, a crown of thorns. And then Revelation 14:14. The victor's crown, when he comes back again. When he comes back, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to put everything under his feet, the Bible says. Revelation 14:14, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, a golden stephanos, and in his hand a sharp sickle." He's going to reward, and he's going to reap that day. And the believers are going to receive reward, and the non-believers are going to be reaped for the furnace. But he is coming back with a victory crown, a crown of gold. Now, it's interesting. There's a prophecy in Psalm 21. And I looked at this in the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, and it is the word stephanos, the word for crown used in the New Testament. Psalm 21:3. "For thou preventest him with the blessing of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." That is King Jesus. There's a hymn in the old hymn book, the 56th hymnal, that says, "Jesus shall reign o'er all the sun, does his successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore, the moon shall wax and wane no more. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. While western empires own their lord and savage tribes attend his word. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name." Jesus shall reign over all the earth. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, he is going to have the golden crown of a winner, the golden crown of a victor, as the Savior of Christians and the Messiah of the Jewish people. And he will reign over all the earth. So the crown of thorns, degradation, the crown of victory for Jesus, exaltation. These are the seven crowns in the New Testament. Charles Spurgeon said, you know, people say, "Well, big deal." Okay. Well, our motive is not to win crowns. Crowns are a good thing. What are we going to do with crowns? Yeah, throw them at Jesus' feet. Revelation 4:10, right? Cast them at Jesus' feet. But our motive is to please him, not earn crowns. 2 Corinthians 5:14, "The love of Christ constrains us." Our love for Jesus causes us to do these things. In the process of doing them, we earn crowns. But it's the love for Jesus and the love of Jesus for others that motivates us. Charles Spurgeon said this, "There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers on earth. Hast thou a cross? Shoulder it manfully. It is Christ's cross, and it is honor to carry it. We carry a cross today. We will wear a crown tomorrow." So, five crowns for believers, two crowns for Jesus. 5 + 2 = 7. 7 crowns of the New Testament. Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you never ask him to come into your heart, if you have doubts about whether you've ever done that, if you're not sure you're going to heaven if you were to die today, Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can do that. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. Dawn is going to come. Betty's going to come to the organ. We're going to sing hymn number 275. That's our invitation hymn this morning. We're going to stand, we're going to sing it, and if you have a decision to make, you come down and make it. as we sing this hymn, number 275.